Joining us today on the Innovative Ideas podcast is Professor John Cochran. He is a professor of finance at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, as well as an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. He's the author of Health Status Insurance and, more recently, an article in the Wall Street Journal entitled What to Do About Pre-Existing Conditions. Professor Cochran, thanks very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
One of the areas of consensus seems to be we've got to do something about pre-existing conditions. Your article in the Wall Street Journal addressed that topic. Could you talk for a moment why we found ourselves in the market we've got right now where people with pre-existing conditions are excluded from the insurance market or typically find higher premiums or perhaps unaffordable premiums in the individual insurance market?
Largely because this problem is relatively recent as this market expanded. I mean, 20 years ago, if you got a long-term disease, there wasn't much we could do for you, so you weren't that expensive. And it's a very government-controlled market, so the government steered us into the employer-based system, which leaves us open to this pre-existing conditions problem.
One of our earlier podcast interviewees, David Hyman from University of Illinois, referred to the tax treatment of health insurance as the original sin of American healthcare. Is that what you're alluding to there, in that we cover people at work, but if they get sick and lose their jobs or aren't covered through their employment, that they're in a different boat, so to speak?
Yes, that is certainly one of the many original sins of American healthcare. The employer-based system, everyone's thrown in a group, which works fine as long as you have a job, but then once you leave, you don't have the right to continue health insurance. There's COBRA and some extensions of it and so forth, but certainly in the way it's set up, it's only there as long as you have a job. And effective insurance isn't just the insurance for today. Effective insurance includes the right that you'll be able to get insurance at a reasonable premium in the future. And employer-based group insurance, crucially, is missing that feature, which we need now that there are long-term diseases.
And also, we've moved into a different market than we were in 20 years ago, where people move from job to job frequently. Many people are self-employed. They work as freelancers. It's just a different economy where you can't expect to be with the same employer for the rest of your life.
Right. And people, alas, get divorced, and children can get diseases and then outgrow their parents' plan. Businesses can go bankrupt, as we've all found out recently. So counting on a business to be sort of the lifetime paternalistic provider of something until the government takes over being the paternalistic provider of Medicare is a system that works less and less well.
So the idea that you're proposing is something called health status insurance, where you envisage, a traditional insurance package that you're paying for this year, with your premiums this year, but then you have something set aside to cover expenses if you become catastrophically ill sometime in the future. Could you explain how that would work?
Yeah, and let me emphasize, there's lots and lots of ways to implement the same idea. Basically, what we want to make sure is that you have always the right to purchase health insurance in the future once you've got into the system. And now I describe what to me as an economist is the cleanest way to do that, which is basically this. You have health insurance, and then you also have insurance against premium increases. So if you get sick, say you get cancer or something that's going to drive your premiums up to something astronomical, you have a separate premium insurance policy that then gives you enough money to pay those higher premiums. This is really clean because now you, with enough money to pay premiums, you can move, you can change insurers, we can let insurers compete for everybody. We don't have to force insurers to hold on to people. So you get that competition in the system, which is what's really missing now. So I like that. That's the cleanest way. But lots of other ways can help people have this right to continue with insurance.
Is there a parallel here, maybe I'm incorrect, to reinsurance in other markets where one business would say, well, okay, I'm going to take on this expense, but I'm going to reinsure myself against a future expense if it gets larger by taking a separate policy out?
That's one way to think about it. Reinsurance is really a way for insurance companies to lay off big risks onto great bigger pools of investors, which is good. It's really, how do you get insurance against long-term diseases, insurance against things that are going to stick with you for more than a year, while at the same time giving you the flexibility to change insurers. I mean, one way to do the same thing would be, a lifetime insurance policy with one company. That's sort of what you have with life insurance now. You pay the same premium forever. The only slight problem with that is now you can't move companies once you get sick. So my method lets you do that too.
There's a contract issue there, I guess, whether you think that consumers would say to themselves, I'd want to be in this contract with this company, but really they probably would want to move if for some reason they got a better deal elsewhere, and you envision them being able to do that.
Yeah, so now we're talking about exactly which part of Nirvana do we want to live in compared to the current completely dysfunctional system. But Suppose you had a life insurance contract and you wanted to, you know, that lasts for your life, but you want to move to another company. Same with health insurance. You sign up for a lifetime contract. We could also add to that the right that you can take that and move it to another company. And that's essentially what I'm proposing. And that would solve the pre-existing conditions problem. Yeah.
You mentioned that United Healthcare now lets you buy the right to future insurance, insurance against developing a pre-existing condition, as you phrase it. And are there any regulatory changes that we would need to see to get us a little closer to the utopia that we'd like to live in as opposed to the mess that we're in now?
Oh, yeah. Lots and lots of them. Now, there's a hundred of thousand pages of medical regulations that I haven't read. But, you know, one of the basic problems is that the individual insurance market to which this is aimed is fairly small and dysfunctional right now, thanks to both the large size of what the government's providing directly and the employer-based system. People left in the individual insurance market tend to be people between jobs, not really targets for good marketing of lifetime products. And in addition, that, you know, health insurance is a very regulated field, so starting something new in the health insurance market is very difficult to do. I mean, one tiny example is you can't market it across state lines. That doesn't help a lot.
Would changing the tax treatment of health insurance help us get there, along with, say, if you were to do two things, if I were to say to you, two or three things that you'd like to see that would move us in this direction? Sounds like interstate sales of health insurance, that would increase more competition into the market, and then reform the tax deduction for health insurance. Would that be
tax right? Deduction enormously. Both the tax deduction and the huge regulatory pressure we now have towards an employer-based group system should be instead. Getting rid of the tax deduction would be, you know, the top of nirvana. But if, as long as we're going to have a tax deduction, let's let that tax deduction apply equally to you or your employer buying you an individual policy that stays with you when you go. That would be the number one thing that would help enormously, so that you have a health insurance policy that is yours, and when you change jobs or move, it's your health insurance policy, and this is going to stick with you for your lifetime as you get sicker. Now, as long as we're going to have a tax deduction, why not allow the tax deduction to buy you that kind of insurance as opposed to buying you an employer-based group plan? That certainly would be step one.
And this, I think, would also, as you're describing it, encourage employees to think about how much money they wanted to take in compensation for healthcare versus wages.
Well, that's the second. The problem of a tax deduction overall is it gives us an incentive to push as much stuff we can into, quote, health insurance, unquote. So we have this system where, you know, nobody would think your home insurance pays for paint or your car insurance pays for oil changes, yet everybody thinks health insurance should pay for the first dollar. Whereas when people are spending their own money on health insurance, they tend to choose high deductible, high copayment policies that give them incentives to economize on health insurance. So we should move to that system as well, and that would get competition going in healthcare, which would bring down costs and all sorts of wonderful things.
But this is, you and I are, of course, talking hypothetically now because all the bills in Congress are moving the exact opposite direction. They're looking at, I think, community rating guaranteed issue, creating a single heavily regulated exchange at the national level. How many more wrinkles or problems do you think that would throw into the existing system that we've got now?
Whether you call it government health care or not, I mean, if you have a system of very tightly regulated oligopoly of a bunch of big insurance companies that have to issue standard contracts to everybody at fixed prices, and that's not private anymore, that's the government health insurance by any other name. So that's going to make the cost problem and the horrible quality of care problem and all the rest of it get worse.
And this is where you've pointed out in your article, in the industries where we've seen real competition and real gains for consumers, there's heavy competition, there's emphasis on technology. Really, this is going back to, you know, as you said, an oligopolical approach of you know where we were 30 years ago with trucking regulation or rent or airline regulation. And in the markets where we've got the kind of regulations, I think, that are envisioned for this new market, and that's New York and some other states that both have these community rating guarantee issue and other very expensive regulations, they're very small individual markets and they're extraordinarily expensive.
Yes, that's where we're going to invent the phone company of the 1950s. And apply it to healthcare.
That's a terrific, gloomy comment to end on. I hope to hear much more about the idea of health status insurance. And Professor Cochran, thanks very much for coming on Innovative Ideas.
Thanks for having me.
To listen to this podcast and other podcasts in the Innovative Ideas series, go to www.medicalprogresstoday.com and click on the podcast tab.